6:09 on a Friday morning. I know this is your favorite song. Let's all say,
when my early morning day begins.
I wonder how tight his underpants are. Listen how high these notes are.
And the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN. 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you. And the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Cockroach. 6:10 in the morning. How are you? If you're headed for Channel 9's back to school situation today, where do they park everybody over there?
Ooh, good question. For the kids' fair.
Yeah, where do they put them? They just let them stop on the street?
I don't think so. I think they have adequate parking.
I'm being told Dean Richards valet parks cars. So Dean will be on later. Rick Pearson will be on later. What's Rick talking about? It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Have you seen a commercial with a kid that is like sweating his, he's perspiring heavily and he's in the bathroom and it's a time lapse thing and the time lapse goes backwards and it shows him at a party?
Oh, the meningitis.
Yeah.
Meningitis thing. Yeah.
Oh,
but you
man.
Assume it's a drug thing, right?
Yes.
Because you've seen it a million times before.
Yes.
But it turns out the kid got viral meningitis. Which one's the worst one? Viral or? There's two types.
Bacterial and viral.
I think it's viral.
It's viral, right? Because bacterial you can treat.
Right.
So it's viral meningitis, and the kid, you know, nearly dies. And the reason is when you go back to school this time of year, there's exposure like there isn't at any other time, whether you're little kids or high school kids or college kids or whatever. But this seems to affect older kids more for somewhat obvious reasons. Anyway, we got a survivor on the show this morning who has gone through hell and can talk about it and talk about a couple other things related to it. And this is the 50th anniversary this week of the University of Texas clock tower shooting, and guns are being allowed on campuses back in Texas. So, you know, we'll kick that around. You can do as you will with that. Speaking of guns in Chicago, as we head into another summer weekend, Superintendent Eddie Johnson this morning for the first time since he was named superintendent to discuss that.
And it's perfect timing. They have a community meeting this morning as well with the mayor.
And the three stages of lying on the campaign trail, when Hillary lies, Trump lies, do the libertarians have to lie as well? Like, is it, you know, speaking of things that are contagious.
Is lying contagious?
So we'll get to that. So a lot of that coming up. Lou, in a few minutes, if you want to ask Lou a question, you know how this works. Lou's first call means you win and means you don't have to wait on hold tomorrow morning when he's yapping on his own show. So number to call is 312-981-7200. You can get in line now and ask your questions about whatever you need. Now, a lot of the time is normally taken up, not by me interrupting, because I never do that, but by the staff asking whiny questions about their own personal home problems.
Whiny?
Yeah, definitely whiny. Did any of you have any whiny questions today you'd like to ask Lou?
I'm not going to ask
Lou. Guess not.
Not
after
question.
That.
Now.
Okay, now you're going to ask?
All right, no, I'll ask about ask about re-caulking my shower.
Re-caulking? Dave, do you have a topic? I'm making notes here.
I'll come up with a whiny question.
All right. Steve, do you have a question? Good. Good talking to you. Mary, do you have a question?
I'll think of one. There's always something broken in my house.
All right. Mary Samberg has a question. How about you, Jake? Do you have a question about your abode?
The Love Shack?
Yeah, the Love Shack, the 325 square feet.
Nice.
Let me think about it. I'll come up with something.
So that's all in the way. We're 1 week away from the Samberg wedding. We're all looking forward to that tonight.
I'm so excited.
You know, a week from tonight. We're all looking forward to it. We're all going to be there, of course.
No one's going to be there.
I don't think any of us are going to be there.
No.
That's why she's happy.
I'm sorry you guys have prior commitments, but I'm very excited.
All right, let's say none of us had commitments. Would any of us have been invited?
No.
That's exactly right.
Steve's the only one with the commitment.
Yeah, it's true. Mary's available.
No, I have dinner plans.
You don't want to come back downtown anyway, so.
No,
yeah,
Mary won't leave
her
house.
The traffic will be terrible. Yeah.
I have dinner plans, but I moved him to the Chop House so I can, you know, hang out with all of them.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, if we get dinner, then, you know.
If we get dinner. The one thing that determines if you go to any wedding. Hey, is there dinner?
Yeah, some weddings, they just have, like, hors d'oeuvres, which is such a cheapskate way out.
Mary, I'm cool with it because I'm not a big, hey, let's go to a wedding fan and watch, really? You know, and clink the glass. Not anymore. This yeah. is, it should
Andrea's
be private.
Had it with weddings.
She's doing, Mary's doing it the right way. Quiet,
yes.
intimate,
yes.
family. You don't have to have
I feel
500
like, But I
people.
Feel like you need to be prepared for the whole thing. So between now and next Friday, whenever we clink glasses, you have to make out with the dude closest to you.
Okay.
Which
Starting with Mike.
Or Bennett.
We got our wedding license, and the best part is it has our ages on it for some reason. And so Pat's older, so I think it's funny.
I'm sure he does too.
I know.
We should say Pat is 47?
Yeah, he's 47 and I'm 40.
Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. And I got to tell you something. Dave will speak to this as well. There's nothing we enjoy more than old guy jokes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great. Not that we ever hear any on this show or anything.
No.
Sandberg, I can't remember why we were headed to the United Center or something, but DeCoste and I are riding in the front seat, and Sandberg's in the back seat.
Oh, we were going to Medina.
That was it. And she takes a picture of me driving with the car. You see the back.
Because Andrea heads. Didn't want to take me, so you guys took me.
That's right.
You
That's
wouldn't
right.
fit in my car. It's 300
So she takes
feet.
A picture of the back of our heads, and she sends it to us, and it says, my two dads.
It's cool, yeah.
never felt sexier. At 6:15, we will come back with Lou Manfredini and his situation, which we call the Lou's first call. And, of course, you're a big winner if you are the first caller. People lining up now, 312-981-7200. Mary, I was a victim of the ghost accident on the Eisenhower this morning. There was no accident.
What ghost accident? The one at first?
Yeah.
What?
No, first was just like slow to complete. You know, when you get into the avenues on the Ike coming in from the west,
yeah,
it always slows down. You know, starting with the Mannheim ramp all the way in, right? We get to, you know, and I heard you say first is blocked. The left lane's blocked with an accident. No accident. Cars completely
Maybe it was
stopped,
gone
no accident.
By the time you got there.
Must have been taken out like seconds before I got
there. It was very fast,
there.
But there was a huge delay.
Yeah, well, I was part of the delay, but I'm saying there was no accident there. I'm not saying your information was inaccurate. I'm just saying it was a ghost accident by the time I was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's still delays, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe I missed it?
Yeah, I think it was there and was cleared fast.
I'm not accusing you of getting it wrong. I'm just saying there was no accident there. Well, never mind.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Loser's Call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. First caller wins. Sandberg?
I just wanted to say one thing about that corn. People don't know you can do this, but I eat all my corn raw. Like
oh, you
carrot.
Can do the Mirai.
And it's,
have you tried the Mirai raw?
It's
Spike
delicious.
Told
I have.
Me to do that one
yes.
time, and I
it's
did.
Great.
I said, are you crazy? He
yeah.
said, yeah.
You can like
it.
Take
yes.
it here in the car and snack on it.
Yeah, just like an apple or anything. So mm-hmm. people, you should try it. It's really good.
And I don't need butter or salt.
Really
either.
Yeah, I don't like butter.
Wait, so there will be corn and butter?
Oh. What?
No, again, Steve. I think you're picking up Eric and Kathy on your headphones.
Is
6:23, Lou Manfredini standing by at Channel 9. How are you, buddy?
I like to have my Mirai corn with a big cold beer.
Also organic and doesn't
and
have
tasty,
to be cooked.
And you don't have to cook it.
Yeah.
And hoppy.
Yeah, it right. makes you hoppy?
It makes me hoppy.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark's our first caller. Let's not waste any time here. Mark, okay. Go ahead. All right, good call,
morning,
Mark.
Gentlemen. Good morning.
Yeah.
Lou, I have a problem with ground squirrels or chipmunks or whatever the heck you want to call them. But they're actually digging under my porch, my concrete porch foundation.
Right.
And I can see little rocks coming That's out and great. Things. And my solution is a pellet gun, but my wife doesn't like that idea.
Yeah, and so, yeah, the neighbors
Anything
don't.
Natural?
I do have a terrific option for you, and it really does work. It's called the Bonide, Bonide, which is the maker. There's the chipmunk there. Mole Max, MOLEMAX, Sonic Spike.
Again, that's the Bonide Molmax Sonic Spike.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what this does, I had the same problem at our home by a back set of stairs. I've had recurring problems with chipmunks. And I find this product's been around for a while, but I've never been a fan of these electronic products because the thing is the rodents get used to it and then they don't, it's not effective anymore. That has not been the case with this product. It's a spike. They make a battery operated one and a solar one. You pound it into the ground and you put a couple batteries in it and it makes the chatter sound of a chipmunk or a mole in distress.
Couldn't I come out to the house and just make that noise?
You could. But there's a lot of people with this problem. I put one in one of the spikes down where I was having an issue with the chipmunks. They haven't been back for 8 weeks. And rodents,
but at some point, don't the chipmunks talk to each other and go, Bob?
No, they say, Lou, man, did you hear somebody is over there, something landed on his foot, and I'm not going over there because I can hear the guy screaming. When you put it in the ground, the little chatter, it goes, ee, like that. That's what it sounds like.
It says, what does it do again?
Ee.
No, I think that's more.
Want one more time? Right. Well, it's like that.
Yeah.
But you don't hear it because it's inside the ground. It's about $15, and it is the best stuff. Bonide Molmax Sonic Spike.
Three bands that were at Lollapalooza.
Right.
To
right. So
catch a on gopher, the you stage. First have to act like a gopher. You have to become a gopher.
By the way, that's our news guy.
Just like popped into my head. I had to share it on
you. Yeah, you really didn't have to.
He's been up very. He's already.
Steve, take the bet.
I've had three cups of coffee already.
There's a battery behind you. There's a battery. Attach that to a sensitive part of you and recharge your credibility after that impression. I'm sorry, Lou, what are you saying?
Nothing.
The Bonide Molmax Sonic Spike. I was disappointed because I was hoping you're going to tell me that that remote sprayer thing would be the answer.
Well, it can be, but this thing really works.
Tell everybody about the remote sprayer, though, because this is great to use on neighbors and things.
It is a motion sensing spray sprinkler that you hook up to the hose. You stick it in the ground. If you have deer or raccoons or skunk that you just don't want to deal with, you point the sprinkler in the direction where you see the rodents or the animal, and whenever they come in line, it turns on and blasts them with water. And it's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
And you can sit in the house and you can have your beer and your Mirai sweet corn and look out the window and watch the water.
Are you just telling people about my life?
Yeah, pretty much. That just described a big Friday night for you.
Right.
Your wife's going, don't you have a show to prep for tomorrow?
Right.
No!
No, I'm going to sit here and watch the deer and drink my beer. Bring me more corn, woman! That's what I yell.
Yeah, try that. See how that works.
Yeah.
Why
do I think I'm sleeping on the couch right now?
Bring me more corn, woman.
Woman. I need another beer.
All right, the self-centered Steve Cochran show continues with whiny questions from the staff. Andrea, you want to start?
Whiny question. Lou, how often should you recaulk your shower?
I think every couple hours.
I did it about a year ago, and it's starting to.
Yeah, no, I think you got to do it
If you start to see the caulk peel away, I mean, really, when it's done correctly and you are washing and cleaning the shower area properly, it should last. It should last.
He's ripping you.
Couple 3 years before you have to redo it.
Oh no, my cleaning girl does a great job.
Yeah, well,
that'd be me. But
right, but I mean,
I squeegee. I'm crazy. I squeegee. I'm one of those people who
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, it really all depends on the usage. The real trick that the mistake that people make when they caulk a shower is you have to peel all the old stuff away. Then you have to put a fan in there for at least overnight to dry it all out because there's moisture behind.
Ah.
And what happens is people caulk too quickly, and then the moisture behind starts to mildew and mold the caulk more quickly, and it doesn't adhere as tenaciously as it should. And that's why a lot of people are recaulking every year.
Tenacious adherence is another band I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very nice.
Dave, you have a whiny question?
Lou. My buckthorn is exploding.
No, that's not my question. Not my question. Since it's not going to be 90 today, thus the fall is upon us, how often should you have the outside of your chimney professionally inspected?
Every couple of hours.
Outside chimney?
The outside, the brickwork.
Every 2 hours.
Well, I
mean, is it necessary to do it every year?
No, no, no. It's a good idea for you, for the individual homeowner, to take a look at that on an annual basis. I think that most of us don't look up. And, you know, if you have a friend or you happen to have a pair of binoculars, depending on how, you know, you've got that big estate and it might be difficult for you to see all the way up there. So you need the...
You mean Grizzly Ennett, the guy that lives in the middle of the woods?
Right. But I mean, if you start to see efflorescence where you get a little chalkiness on the brick, or with a pair of binoculars, if you can see chunks of mortar missing, then, yeah, it should definitely be inspected. But it's probably something that, you know, if you're getting your chimney cleaned, if you're someone that uses a fireplace a lot, annual cleaning, chimney cleaning and inspections are part of the routine. You should be doing that.
I like Lindemann. I think they're really
good. They do a fantastic job. Yeah. But they'll inspect it. But that's really more during their cleaning. You wouldn't call them out just to do an inspection unless you see some issue yourself. Yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mary Vanneveld, do you have a whiny question?
Okay, rust in the toilet. What's the best product to get rid of it?
I got to get a new toilet.
Wait,
it's not my house. It's at the cabin.
Wait, what's the problem?
Rust in the toilet.
Rusty on her toilet.
Oh.
Inside the toilet bowl. How do you, what's the best product?
Oh, there's a guy named Rusty.
Is it a white toilet bowl?
Yes.
Okay, so the best stuff is this product called Wink.
Wink.
Orion used to do the commercials for it. And it only works on white toilet bowls, and if that doesn't get the rust out, nothing will.
Okay.
Wink.
Never heard
comes
of that
in a small brown bottle. And it is an amazing toilet bowl cleaner.
Excellent. All right, let's go to the lightning round here, Lou, because we're already over time. Mm. Lou, I bought liquid dishwasher detergent for the first time. My husband went out and bought tablets. He said people told him never to use liquid. What do you suggest?
Mm.
All right, good answer.
I don't like either. I'm a Cascade guy.
Okay, so you like this
powder.
The powder.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou's old school. He likes powder.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, how can I rid of house flies that take over my backyard and patio during the summer? I don't like the fly catcher bag because it smells like death.
Yeah. So they're still for flies, it's problematic. Here's an old wives' tale that I've heard works. Take Listerine in a spray bottle, 50-50 with water, and spray the areas, the plants and whatnot, even the furniture, with a little Listerine. They don't like the smell of mint, and it does keep them away. And you'll smell minty fresh when you're sitting there.
Stephen Liu, I saw a few owls works great for chipmunks. Yeah, well, that's true. And I have owls.
True. Yeah, buy an owl, set them up. Owls, absolutely.
Another remedy to get rid of chipmunks, used cat litter. Put it in the holes in and around the area.
I've heard that works, but it smells.
Liu, will the spike help keep rabbits out of the garden?
I'm not certain about the rabbits, but you could try it.
You want to hear my rabbit? You heard my chipmunk impression. You want to hear my rabbit impression?
Sure. Fantastic.
I just did it.
You know, the look, though, if you could just get the visual, Lou, it's uncanny.
Does he kind of bug his eyes out?
Not really.
And does he wiggle his rear end like he's got a tail?
Well, I mean, I wiggle my rear end, but that's a general thing.
General thing.
He's twitching his nose.
Yeah, right. Just give you a little nose movement.
Nice.
April Air Wi-Fi thermostat for the caller. What was it, Mark? Mike? Mark. allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Are you on TV now?
I'm going to be.
All right. Well, you say hi to all our friends.
I will.
All right.
Love you, people.
Love you.
Bye,
back.
Lou.
That's
love
Lou.
You.
The Steve Cochran Show continues with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I mean, how stupid are we? How stupid are we? To allow this to continue to go on. To see what's happening. And you know, it was interesting because a tape was made. Right? You saw that with the airplane coming in. Nice plane. And the airplane coming in and the money coming off, I guess, right? That was given to us, has to be, by the Iranians. And you know why the tape was given to us? Because they want to embarrass our country. They want to embarrass our country. And they want to embarrass our president. Because we have a president who's incompetent.
It's like the perfect music for this. Donald Trump never saw that plane, as Andrea told you about the big story a few minutes ago. Here again is the tweet from Trump. When I heard this morning that Trump had admitted he hadn't seen the plane, I thought, what? He's a human being. He's going to apologize. Not so much. Here is the tweet. The plane I saw on television was the hostage plane. The plane I saw on television was the one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an airplane. You know that one with Robert Hayes? The plane I saw on television was the hostage plane in Geneva, Switzerland, not the plane carrying $400 million in cash going to Iran, exclamation point. All right, well, then let's take him off the hook. As you wake up this morning, Hillary is beating Trump by 15% in one significant poll, the Marist poll. Another is 9%. It's double digits in most places. However, Hillary Clinton is a giant fool because here she has a runaway election win in early August, and she can't stop lying about the FBI email. Hillary Clinton yesterday, in an interview with KUSA Television, repeated what she told Fox News last Sunday, a statement that got her four Pinocchios in the fact-checking department from the Washington Post. Here's what she said. As the FBI said, everything that I've said publicly has been consistent and truthful with what I've told them. Now, if the Clintons had a word-parsing camp for kids in the summer, this is the type of stuff they would teach. Because if you're going to be technical, and I mean as technical as you could possibly get, half of that sentence is true. What she told the FBI was true. What she has said in public, as Director Comey said, was absolutely untruthful. There's no truth. The FBI did not say that all classified information was stored in her private email was retroactively classified. On the contrary, Comey said there's evidence of extreme carelessness in the handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. Comey said my answers were truthful. Yeah, not so much. Comey said the agency had found many troubling practices surrounding Clinton's email, the email use of the Secretary of State, her testimony before Congress. And the FBI director absolutely did not back Clinton's public statements in which Clinton said she had not sent or received classified information on the private server. You're going to hear words today like misstated, Secretary of State Clinton bending the... No, she's lying. She's lying. And if you're going to call out Trump here every day, you got to call out her when she's doing the same thing. Now, Donald Trump, of course, picked this up and he ran with it and is finally making Republic... Oh, no, that's right. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Trump's too busy saying things like he said yesterday about the video you just heard about. His New York campaign chair says in an interview, there's no doubt Obama's a Muslim. Melania Trump may have illegally overstayed her visa or might not have had a visa at all when she first came to this country. And that after she said that she's done it legally. So it's a hot mess. So they're both big fat liars. Liars, liars, pantsuits on fire. And the problem with all of that is, if you well, you know what? You don't need to hear it from me. Maybe Gary Johnson, the Libertarian presidential candidate, could say it better.
If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. That's been a credo of mine forever. and in that, in that vein, if you tell the truth, that means you'll admit mistakes and make plenty of mistakes. But how often is a mistake made worse just because of the denial of the mistake? And there's no quicker way to get after fixing something than first acknowledging it.
Wow. That's very human.
Very human.
That's like a grown-up talking there. Johnson Weld 2016, or is it Johnson Weld 16? You Google Johnson Weld, you get their campaign site.
The only exception to that would be when you walk into a room and forget why you walked in the room.
That's you lie easy. Then?
No, you don't lie, but you forget why you did it, though.
Yeah. Trump will tweet about that in a second. Hey, it's traffic time. Back to Mary for that. What's happening now? You got any more accidents you're making up?
No.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson next hour. Is he on the phone or is he in the studio?
He'll be on the phone because he has this community meeting this morning, but he will be in studio. He was supposed to be in studio with us, and his spokesman texted very late last night and said he is called into a meeting with the mayor today about lots of stuff going on.
No.
It's all good.
Last time we had a police super called a meeting with the mayor, it didn't end well.
It's a community meeting that they're having about everything that's just been happening lately. Lots of big stories, which he'll be telling us about. But he'll be on the phone and
I don't want to be the superintendent career killer. You know, I mean, Gary...
I know. I thought of that. Trust me. Last interview. I thought, oh, no. No, yeah. He's fine. It's okay. All good.
Text question of the day. Is there a product in your home that you're a complete lunatic about? And you say, well, why are you asking that, Steve?
Why are you asking that, Steve?
All right, can I tell you something? I don't want anyone else on the show to hear.
All right, let's come close.
Sandberg may be out of her mind. Behind me over my right shoulder is a display. The promotional companies come out here all the time on Pioneer Court. It's a very high visibility location. It's right behind the studio. And they go out and they bring a couple spokespeople out and they sell whatever their product is. Happens, you know, 15, 20, 30 times a year.
Yeah, they hand things out.
Yeah, samples and things. Bounty Paper Towels is out here. And it was like, Sandberg won a new car. Did you see how giddy she
was? Literally, I used the word giddy too because I've never seen her so excited or happy about anything.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So I know what you're getting for a wedding present.
Some paper towels.
Two-pack roll.
Nice.
So why do you love Bounty Paper Towels?
They're the best paper product out there.
Okay, but apparently you're correct. All right, so you love Bounty, but that's not the full answer, is it?
No.
Because if, let's say the kids or your husband-to-be goes out and he sees, Scott, paper towels. I'm going to get this because they're cheaper. What happens when he comes home?
If those things come in the house, I cry.
Are you kidding?
No, and I really have cried. There's two things. I'm very serious about these paper products. Bounty paper towels. I only like white, and I like the big rolls because Pat uses a lot of paper towels, and I hate changing the roll. I also like I like Charmin Mega Rolls, the toilet paper. Only Mega Rolls.
You don't buy what's on sale.
No, I buy Charmin Mega Rolls. And
I do have to say, I don't think you should scrimp on toilet paper. Yeah. I think you should spend whatever you need to spend to be comfortable.
Yes. And those are what, and I only like the Mega Rolls. I don't like the smaller size ones. Give me the Megas. They look better on the roll, and I also like them. I like the toilet paper coming over the top, but we won't even get into that. But the Bounty paper towels are the best, and I only like white ones. And I have cried.
Does Pat know this?
Oh, yes. And okay. I have cried over a Viva paper towel being brought into the house. And so it's gotten to the point where they didn't have the Bounty big rolls. And when he'll come in, very rarely does he pick these products up, but he came in not too long ago and was like, hey, just to give you a warning, they didn't have the Bounty big rolls. They only had the small Selecta size, but I got those, which are still Bounty, but they're still white. Like, he's ready for me to lose my paper towels. So.
Yeah.
And the wedding's still on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In 1 week.
My God.
When did you expose this level of nuts to him? How long into the relationship?
Oh, right away.
This is a good thing you guys lived together before you got married.
Yes, because there's
he's ready for this stuff.
Well, everybody in any relationship, you have to accept a certain amount of stuff that you don't understand in any way, shape, or form from the other person. Do you think Pat goes to work and goes, she's like nuts for the Bounty paper towels?
I think he thinks I'm nuts.
Would you leave this show if Bounty offered you a job this morning?
Oh, jeez.
Wow. What's even funnier, though, is that you don't want anything on them. Like, they can't have the
if there's print. Decoration, no, because, like, you have these granite countertops that are, like, speckled, and then I'm going to have some kind of, like, flower pot on my towel.
Like a picnic scene?
Yeah, not going to happen. And when I met Pat, his whole pantry thing was a hot mess. He had, like, different brands.
You know what I love that you
Diet
think?
Mountain Dew in a ripped open
I love that
case.
You think you're right.
Oh,
what about napkins?
I'm backing away.
Can you have napkins with designs?
I get the vanity napkins,
the white ones.
Yeah, the white ones. Oh. Yeah, so, all white.
So everything
really?
Has to be white
so
without
expensive.
Patterns.
Yes, white. But Mayor, how many do you go through? I mean,
a lot.
But
go through a
if
lot
you
of
buy a better napkin,
house.
You don't have to use as many.
No, they still just wipe their mouth and throw them away.
Wow, Dave.
Kids don't care.
Dave.
I'm just going to step outside.
I use cloth napkins for dinner.
At what point during this conversation, Dave, did you just have Cubs in your head or a golf course or something? Because, you know, we just don't think like this. Men just don't think like this.
What?
No,
don't call me.
I'm sure that he.
Oh, you're not
I know.
Yeah, me either.
I'm not a weirdo.
Dave is like the nicest husband ever. I'm sure he gets Karen whatever she wants.
Yep. You're assuming
I get her the quicker picker upper.
Bounty. Okay. Yeah, but is Karen crazy about something?
No. Well, we use cloth napkins.
We use cloth napkins.
We
for
buy
dinner.
The vanity napkins just for when.
Yeah, that's for breakfast.
Occasionally,
in our house. Yeah.
And then. Go to Costco and buy paper towels and toilet paper. I have no
I
idea.
Eat soup what... with my fingers.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I've done that.
Anyway, so when they open the games, the Bounty games outside, because there's some quicker picker upper games, I'm going to have to head out there. Regardless of
wind paper towels. Big time.
When nobody's watching, do you eat the Bounty towels?
No, Steve, this is not about food.
No, that's Starburst.
This isn't food. 312-981-7200 is the number. Text in if you have anything that could match Sandberg's crazy. And really, each day, you know, you're kind of tracking with Trump, like in a different way. You know, like each day we find out a little something more crazy about you, and we do about Trump as well. For those of you new listeners to the show, it doesn't tie Sandberg to Trump in any way. It's just an analogy. All right. Keep an eye on her. She may go out and steal some paper towels.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
712. Hillary Clinton lying. Donald Trump lying. What are you going to do? I know you got 90 days to decide. We'll continue to cover the politics of campaign 2016 shortly, but one of the biggest stories of the week, which kind of got buried, is the fact that here we are, 50 years down the road from the University of Texas famous clock tower shooting, when mass shootings were not something that happened twice a week. And there's a new law in Texas allowing students to carry concealed weapons on campus and in classrooms. And while I will grant you, the vast, vast majority of students who go to college in Texas, in all likelihood, don't have any knowledge of the clock tower shootings, including remembering it from some sort of history class. Doesn't change the irony of the moment and the concern that parents must have. Or are there plenty of people who are saying, nope, this is a good idea? It turns out that there's a couple of viewpoints that we ought to get from kids who have actually gone through some of the worst stuff you could possibly imagine and are on opposite sides of this. Colin Goddard is a survivor of the Virginia Tech shootings and an anti-gun violence advocate. And Amanda Collins is a University of Nevada rape survivor who is a proponent of the campus carry law. I'm going to start with Colin here and violate my lady's first policy. And that's just the polite right thing to do. But in this case, Colin, I want to talk to you first because I want to know your story. And I want to know Amanda's as well. But this Virginia Tech thing was just a horrific nightmare. Where were you when the shootings happened?
I was in French class on a normal Monday morning, usually talking about what we did the previous weekend when we heard loud banging noises coming from what sounded like, you know, the building next door, construction. There were all sorts of weird noises all semester, but then the things got much louder and much closer. You could tell us was something happening down our hallway. And the teacher barely got out instructions to get underneath our desk and call 911. And I dialed 911. I relayed the basic information. I was in total shocked that this was actually happening in disbelief. And then bullets started coming through our classroom door and everybody hit the floor. And thought I laid on that floor for hours. But I learned it was about 9.5 minutes of constant gunfire. And at the end of it, I had been shot 4 times, my knee, both my hips, and in and out of my shoulder. I was one of 7 people in that room of 17 who survived, and 32 people were killed total, and over a dozen more were injured in the shooting, and so, just narrowly survived. Just incredibly lucky.
So people can understand the physicality of this. The shooter, when you heard him initially, was out in the hallway and then came into the room? Is that how this happened?
Yeah, I mean, he was down the hallway and tried to enter a bunch of different rooms.
Got it.
And, you know, he just got to our room before we really knew what to do. Other rooms kind of understood what was happening. We were able to barricade their door closed and keep him out and keep everybody inside safe. But we just didn't understand what was going on until it was too late.
The life story for you post-college, when did you graduate, by the way?
The following year. So I had to go back, you know, in the classroom setting into the next year and finish out. And it was difficult. But graduated, and then, you know, I wanted to do something about what happened. I kept seeing shootings happen to more and more people, you know, in all sort of parts of our country, and saw elected officials do absolutely nothing about it, by and large. And I figured, why is that? Why can't we do, you know, basic things like background checks on every gun sale to make it harder for dangerous people to get their hands on a gun in the first place? And I've been an advocate for common sense gun laws ever since.
And PTSD, in your world, you've received treatment for it. You feel okay about it now?
Yeah, group therapy with the other survivors in my class. And I think, you know, talking about my experience and getting off my chest, I think has helped part of it. And I think the advocacy is also part of it, being able to take a negative experience and put it towards something positive. So,
And also on the phone is Amanda Collins, University of Nevada, and a survivor of rape, which I assume occurred on campus, Amanda?
That's correct, yes.
And you were a student?
I was in the parking garage, less than 50 feet away from the campus police station and on the same floor where they parked their cruisers.
Were you alone at the time?
I had left It was a night class, and at the time that I was attacked, I had just broken away from the group that I had walked to the parking garage with.
So typical cowards hiding out, waiting to attack a victim. And in this case, this nightmare that you endured happens in the parking garage, as you described. Now, did they get the guy?
They did. They caught him about 14 months after my attack, and he was charged in the district court for not only raping me at gunpoint, but also kidnapping and raping a second victim and for the rape and murder of his last known victim.
Oh, God. I can't imagine the nightmare. I can't imagine the nightmare for your family. Now, you graduated when?
I graduated in 2010. My attack was in 2007. And just the repercussions of everything that happened required me to need to take a few more victory laps, if you will.
Sure.
To be able to finish my degree.
No, it's completely understandable. And what are you doing with your life now? Are you working at a particular job?
I am a stay-at-home mom of three girls. Thank you.
God bless. What a good life that is.
It is busy.
Well, it's got to be crazy, sure. Now, here you got two people, and I'm going to put you both on hold for a second to do a traffic update and come back and talk about this specific issue as it relates to Texas. You got two people who are just great young people who just gone through the biggest nightmares you could possibly imagine. What side do they fall on the concealed carry law in Texas? We'll talk about that in just a second, because they don't agree on that. Colin Goddard, survivor of the Virginia Tech shootings, and Amanda Collins, a rape survivor from her time as a student at the University of Nevada. In regards to the new campus carry law in Texas, which people are either supporting or concerned about in regards to it being adopted around the country, they fall on opposite sides here. Let me go back to the phone. Colin, you're a gun rights advocate, and Amanda, you're an advocate of concealed carry, and I want to get on the carry law on campus, and I want to get Andrea in here.
And good morning to both of you. You each fall when I read your stories individually, I would have picked you that you guys were on opposite sides.
You thought Colin would have been the guy that says you should carry a gun,
but it's not that way, is it, Amanda? I'd probably start with you.
Not actually. At the time of my attack, I had my concealed carry permit, but because of the current laws, I was not carrying. I left my firearm at home because I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I feel as though I was legislated into being a victim and being completely helpless and unable to effectively defend myself that night.
Now, from the concern of being able to access your gun and use your gun in that circumstance, have you received any sort of training?
Yes, I have, actually. And it's when you make the choice, when an individual makes the choice to carry a concealed firearm, it's not one that should be done lightly, and it is one that requires constant training. And so I had gone through trainings to be able to access my firearm in a situation like that. And, I was up to date on my certifications and things like that as well.
Colin, I know you respect Amanda's difference of opinion here, but you fall on the other side of this, and you saw what it was like up close. Would a gun in the classroom have made any difference?
I mean, it's impossible to say. I mean, I've tried to think about that morning happening every single which way, from me being the person with the gun to saving the day to me being the one getting killed. And so, there's no way to know. But I would argue that, adding guns in a situation like that could make it more dangerous. And I think it actually makes the average college day where there is no moment of crisis a lot more dangerous. And so I personally don't think that guns should be allowed on schools. But in terms of law and policy, I think ultimately the schools should be allowed to decide for themselves. And the law in Texas removes, the problem I have with it is it removes the decision-making ability by those universities to set their own policies. It forces guns onto campus. And so while I personally have the belief that they don't belong there, I think at the end of the day, schools should be allowed to decide. And now they don't have that decision-making ability anymore. And that's what I think is wrong.
And Amanda, your thoughts?
Well, it was my understanding that actually when the law was initially passed, that the universities could make that decision on their own. Maybe it was only the private universities that were given that stipulation. But, I mean, I understand the concerns. However, I guess I fail to see that as a law-abiding citizen, why am I more threatening in a classroom setting than I am in a movie theater or at the grocery store? Because there's people with permits to carry everywhere else in their daily lives. And all I'm asking for is for that arbitrary line to be lifted, because as it is now at the University of Nevada, Reno, I can be across the street eating a sandwich at Jimmy John's, but as soon as I cross the street to go to campus and I have my firearm on me, I go from being a law-abiding citizen to a criminal.
Both unbelievably great points.
Yeah, they're great points, sure.
And we feel for both of you very much. Amanda, do you believe if you had had your weapon with you, the outcome might have been different?
Absolutely, I do. I, you know, much like Colin has, I have gone through the worst 8 minutes of my life over and over again, and several different outcomes have played out, but one constant still remains, that I admit that there's no way I would have been able to prevent my attack from starting, but there is a particular point in time where if I had had my firearm on me, I would have been able to stop it as it was in progress. And people have argued that, you know, they're looking out for my best interest and it could have been way worse for me. And I always want to ask them, how much worse off could I have been? I was being raped at gunpoint.
Right. Right. No, listen, so, listen. I don't know how anybody could put themselves in your shoes, but, you know, I hope you understand, too, and I'm sure you do, that coming at it from the other side, and it's and certainly I'm on the other side, my concern is not you, the person that goes and gets certification and training all the time. My concern are the knuckleheads or the deranged types that have equal access to guns who have no concern with that.
Right, and I think that, I mean, you'll find that within the gun community that I am a part of, we have the same concern also. We just also acknowledge that gun laws advocate for gun control, or, you know, common sense gun control, whatever you want to call it, it only affects the law-abiding, because background checks and all of that are a good thing, but it's assuming that a criminal is going to go through the proper channels to get a background check. And then further, it's assuming that if they're denied that ability to purchase a firearm, that they're not going to go through other channels to illegally obtain them. And so I think the question is how do we address these issues without impeding on our Second Amendment rights?
Yeah, I'm going to give the last, and please feel free to take care of the kiddos. I really appreciate all your time you're giving here, and I'm sorry that they're upset if this upset them.
No, she's just talking a lot, and
okay. No. Listen, nothing makes me. I'm a new grandfather, so nothing makes me happier than hearing little kids. But I want to give you, Cam, I want to give you the last word here, because one of the things Dallas Police Chief David Brown said was, if everybody's carrying guns, we don't know who the good guys are and the bad guys are when we get to the situation. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that's a valid concern that I think has been heard from a lot of law enforcement. I know that the vast majority of students, faculty in Texas were opposed to this measure, but unfortunately, you know, too many elected officials kind of still fold to the gun lobby and put this ideology over basic public safety. And so, you know, I think fundamentally, you know, instead of trying to shoot our way out of problems with violence on campuses or, frankly, anywhere in our country, I think more and more Americans believe, like I do, that we can and must do more to keep guns away from dangerous people in the first place. And that's where I'd like, you know, the focus of time. It's sad that the Texas legislature that, you know, forced guns on campus refuses to do something as simple as requiring a criminal background check before every gun sale in their state. And that's where I think this direction is misguided.
I think Texas is also woefully lacking, as is Illinois and a lot of states, and how they take care of the mentally ill and people who have access to guns, who have mental illness issues. Colin, I know you're an advocate. If people want to stay in touch with you, comment to you, what do they do?
Very simple. They can figure out the work that I do and the work we do at Everytown for Gun Safety by texting JOIN, J-O-I-N, to 64433 and get updated about what's going on in our community.
That's JOIN to 64433. And Amanda, is there a way folks can follow what you're doing?
Well, they can, I guess, go on my Twitter right now, which is CollinsAmanda85. I'm in the process of starting a nonprofit that will be called Tears Speak. That's about teaching and empowering assault rape survivors. And we'll be working on giving hope to people who have survive such trauma to be able to live a full life, and then also working for some different legislative changes that need to come about also.
I hope you'll let us know when the foundation's up and running, so we'd be happy to publicize it
absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
Collins Amanda 85. Thank you both. And, you know, I'm glad you're doing this together at different places around the country as opposed to the screaming ninnies we see on talk TV all the time. You're both very good representatives for your viewpoints, and I just wish you both well. You sound like you are working on tremendous lives, and I salute both of you.
Thank you.
And
Colin, all the best. It's 7:31. We can talk a little bit more about that in a bit, but we got to come back to the big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:41, and well, I've made it clear I'm never a fan of the "oh, what a mess I inherited" argument. I'd like to be Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson becomes the Chicago Police Superintendent. And he's got a lot to deal with and a lot to clean up every day. The news continues to pile on every day. He joins us now. Nice to have you finally on the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Steve.
And thanks for the work you and your men and women continue to do every day. You know, it's Friday. We go into another weekend here. Do you need extra Maalox or Tums on a Friday?
Well, I can always use extra everything on Fridays.
So as you gear up for another weekend in Chicago, you know, I'm a spiritual guy. I certainly say a prayer for you and your people that are out there. But beyond that, I know that your predecessor, who you were very supportive of, and a guy that was on the show regularly, and we like him, did his best through technology and new tools to fight crime and also getting bodies on the street. How has it changed since you took over, and what's your strategy to try to beat back this unbeatable problem on some level?
Well, basically for me, we've gotten really good because he brought a lot of good things to Chicago, including the technology that we're utilizing. But for me, the most important thing is holding repeat gun offenders accountable for what they do, because I said the other day, we have a list called a strategic subject list, which identifies people that would be a party to violent crime, either by being the victim of shootings or the perpetrator of shootings. And this year, since January, 85% of these individuals that we have identified have been the victims of either fatal or non-fatal shootings in the city. So it's a small segment of people that are driving most of the violence in the city.
Superintendent, I see more officers now on the bike paths in areas downtown here. And I was at I saw you at one of the community seminars in the 9th District where you're having the police actually meet with the community and members of the community. Is that helping, and are you going to do more of those?
Yeah, it's helping. That helps facilitate the relationship between the police and the community, because after all, we work for the citizens of Chicago, so we should be partners with the citizens of Chicago.
Without a doubt. In this world that we live in 2016, I don't know how old you are, Superintendent. I'm 55. I thought we were getting beyond race discussions. It seems like the race discussions are louder than ever. Is there any additional street cred, or does it help you in certain areas to be a black man?
Well, you know, the racial issue is difficult for people to talk about, but it is the reality of the world that we live in, you know. So, you know, you would hope that well, I shouldn't say I would hope that. You know, a lot of people want the police in their community to look like them. But in the African-American communities, you know, quite frankly, we just don't have enough to ensure that. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of the police officers out there want to be professional and respectful, and that's how they operate. So as long as we do that, we should be fine.
What's your commitment to getting bad cops out? How big a part of your day is that, and who is helping you figure out who the bad cops are? And again, 99.9% of men and women in blue go to work every day, are underpaid, and they risk their lives for the rest of us to do the right thing. And I've never met a good cop that didn't hate a bad cop and wanted them gone immediately. So with that as the premise, who's helping you clean up that mess and cut down on the skepticism in some parts of town?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, good cops don't like cops out there making us all look bad. But day one, when I got the seat, I instructed our internal affairs division to come up with a policy that would make it easier for cops to report misconduct that they see anonymously.
Right.
And at the same time, we created a method so that if a police officer did report misconduct, if they were being harassed or ostracized in any way, there's a mechanism, there'll be a mechanism in place to that would subject the harasser of punishment up to termination. So we're almost ready with that policy. So I think that'll go a long way to help us weed out some of the bad cops.
That's a really big deal. I don't want people to lose this point. What you just stated is a really big deal. It's not a TV movie of the week, kids. This is real life. And you think about your own job. Somebody steals something at work, and you see somebody steal something at work. You're going to run to HR? You're going to be the one that tells them? Everybody has to make a decision. And in the brotherhood and sisterhood of police officers, it's a big deal to turn in somebody who rides with you or somebody who you've worked a crime scene with. There's a lot of unsaid, unstated laws. And it's easy for the rest of us, a superintendent, to sit around going, hey, you're a cop. Do the right thing. But yep. In the real world of humanity, what you're talking about, well, most of us probably thought it was already in place. That's a huge deal to get implemented absolutely immediately.
Yeah, it's difficult, you know, because these are the people that you work with every day. Because let's face it, the same person that you're turning in and reporting for misconduct could be the same person that's coming to assist you and pull somebody off of your back. So it's a difficult thing, but we're trying to get there.
Superintendent, I know your methodology is the same in the office as it is on the street. And as you continue to rebuild the trust, I've been to many news conferences with you and John Escalante where you say if you see something, say something.
Correct. Yeah, it's tough, but I firmly believe the police department is only as strong as the faith that the community has in it. So it's my challenge, along with John, to rebuild the trust. And to be quite honest, in these few months, we have been making some really positive gains. So if we can continue this momentum, we'll get there eventually.
The body cam question continues to come up, and there's a story this week, which the details have been all over the news, about body cam not being available on a cop shooting because the body cam came off in the scuffle. I don't know how you fix that, but in a city that has a lot of skepticism about, you know, good cops, bad cops, and all of that, where are you on the body cam issue?
I think the body cameras is a wonderful tool because it lets you see whatever happens from the perspective of the police officer. But just let me caution you for a moment that the incident that happened last week, that particular district had only had the body cameras for about 7 or 8 days. So when you factor in the officer's days off with that, they probably only had that thing about maybe 4 or 5 days at the most. And it takes a minute to get familiar with the equipment. So at this point, I don't see anything that suggests any intent to disable the equipment. And after the video comes out, you'll see what I mean. But I'm confident that the transparency policy that we put in place and the camera system that we put in place, I am confident that that will help build trust with the community.
And I kudos to you, too, for the police-involved shooting a few weeks ago where you took the extra step. Instead of just putting the officers on desk duty, they were stripped of their police powers while the investigation is ongoing and continues. Now, they could all be cleared, but I think that was the right step when you talk about rebuilding the trust and then including the transparency within the department, too.
Right. Like I said, I've said this from day one. If officers engage in intentional misconduct or inappropriate behavior, then, you know, they have to be held accountable. But at the same time, if they make honest mistakes, and we do because we're not perfect, we're human. If we make honest mistakes, then it's my challenge to get them more training, get them mentoring. You know, they'll still be held accountable. But then at the end of the day, you know, we get them what they need and get them back out on the street.
How's the funding question for what you need and having the money you need to get the job done?
Well, funding is always, you know, a huge issue. And, you know, the times that we all live in now, that's a critical part of it. But we have about 7 districts right now that I think by the end of this month, about 7 districts will be totally outfitted with the body-worn cameras. So at some point, an agency this size, it's going to take some financial backing to outfit all the officers out in the street every day with cameras. But we'll get there.
There's a television campaign running now for vests for cops and raising money for vests for cops. How much of a cop's vest allowance is there, and why is it not enough to cover it?
Well, the vest, the thing with the vest, and just since you brought it up, let me just say thank you to the Chicago Blackhawks and Corey Crawford and the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Right. Absolutely.
But the thing about the vest is they're quite expensive, and they wear out. People don't know this, but they do have a shelf life of at the most 5 years, and it could be less than that depending on, in the summertime, how much you sweat and wear, because that breaks down the material in the vest. So although we do get uniform allowances, that cost of the vest is pretty significant.
So, you know, again, this is easy for me to say. I don't do what you guys do, but it sounds crazy to me. It sounds crazy to me that this basic uniform tenant is not supplied and there's not funding for it.
Yeah, well, when you become a police officer, your first vest, your very first one, is given to you by the Chicago Police Department. But after that vest expires, then you're on your own to continuously replace your vest yourself.
Yeah, and I understand that there's, you know, a politics piece of that, and the funding has to come from somewhere, and money has to be spent on things. But am I wrong to say that's not a basic part of your equipment?
No, you're not wrong, because, I mean, let's face it, that vest could easily be the difference between you going home or not going home every day. So it's a very important piece. You know, so we just have to keep looking at ways that we can fund the program and continuously help officers replace their vests.
Boy, as a Chicago taxpayer, I would gladly pay more.
Yeah,
to have every
there ought to be a vest tax.
Yeah.
Do other big cities fund vests the same, differently, not as much, maybe more?
Oh, you know what? Steve, I'm not sure about that. That's something that maybe we'll look into.
Yeah, well, you don't have time to look into it. We'll look into it. you got enough going on. Last question. In regards to the media, Andrea is out there covering crime scenes every weekend on Channel 9. And in regards to the media, how is the media helping, or how are they hurting?
Well, you know, I tell you this. It's, a lot of cops get frustrated because they don't see enough positive stories out there in the media. And because, let's face it, the Chicago Police Department, we respond to roughly, you know, a little over 2 million calls a year. 2 million. You know, we are now up to 5,000 guns recovered in the street. So every time we recover a gun, that's an armed encounter with an offender. 2 million calls a year, but you don't hear about that. All you hear about is when something goes bad. So if the media could help us put some of the positive incidents out there, that would go a long way to letting the public know that it's not all bad, because most encounters with the police officers don't end in tragedy.
Wait, that's over 5,000 calls a day.
Yep, we are busy.
That is unbelievable. I had no idea that number was out
there. We thank you for all you do, Superintendent, and I've noticed a lot more people when I'm out thanking the police officers for everything that you guys do.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. A small thank you to a police officer goes a long way, believe me.
Stay safe. Good luck this weekend, and we look forward to talking to you regularly here.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
There you go. It's Superintendent Eddie Johnson. You know,
He's on his way to a community meeting, too, by the way.
The vest thing has bothered me forever, and we should look into it. I don't know how L.A. handles it. I don't know how New York handles it. I don't know how, you know, Dallas, because of such prominent police news, but we should look into it.
Think if you wore the same shirt or the same thing every single day for 5 years. Of course there's wear and tear. But of course it has to be cleaned.
Well, how about a 20-year vet? How much money has he spent on vests?
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards has made his way inside. It's that back to school thing they do every year, which draws, I'm no expert on crowds, Dean, but it looks like you had 100,000 people there at Channel 9.
157,832, I counted when I was outside.
Yeah, I thought so. It looks great.
Back to school kids fair, our 15th annual back to school kids fair. Families were lined up, believe it or not, at 3:30 in the morning to get in line, to be first to get school supplies, health exams, immunizations.
It's a nice thing.
We've got free food, entertainment, the opportunity to get up close and personal to your friends on the WGN-TV morning news when we're at our sweatiest. It's really quite a treat.
Any of the dads trying to touch McElroy?
A lot of the dads I've noticed trying to pretend like they want kids pictures with their kids, you know, with their kids, and then they squeeze into the selfie, which is a little on the creepy side. And I'm counting. We've actually started a drinking game. Every time somebody says that they think I'm Tom Skilling,
that's nice.
Take a shot, and we're up to about 342 of those right now.
Makes total sense. Or Tom Skilling's brother, Billy Joel.
Right. Billy Joel Skilling.
Back when I was doing the afternoon show, there's this, you know, in the early 2000s, this comedian comes through, Mike Birbiglia, who is hilarious, and he was great, and he used to come on the show quite a bit, and he was always funny, and he told me about the sleepwalking thing he was living with. Well, you know, you fast forward a few years, he's on Letterman every 15 minutes, he's doing all the late night shows, he's a great panel,
yep,
and he's funny every time. And he does the book, and then he makes Sleepwalking With Me, does it, you know, on Broadway, and then he does the movie. He's got a new movie out now, and as he joins us on the phone, Dean, Mike, nice to reconnect, bud. How are you?
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, good to hear from you, and good to talk to you. I just wanted to salute you first on the stance you took on the MPAA earlier this week.
Yes.
Because it's ridiculous. The whole rating system's for movies. It's just, you know, you want to talk about something that's actually rigged, that's rigged.
Yeah,
the
Mike's
system is rigged.
Mike's. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I noticed it because I was in Denver. I'm going town to town. I'm in Portland today, and I was in Denver yesterday. And this was on a morning TV show, and they show a clip of Suicide Squad, and they go rated PG-13. I showed a clip of my movie, Don't Think Twice. It says rated R, and the Suicide Squad clip was like someone mowing down like 20 people with a machine gun. I was like, I literally said, I go, are you serious? It's PG-13? I was like, are you joking?
Right.
And they're like, no, it's PG-13. And then I just tweeted this thing at the airport, and it kind of went crazy. Like, I've tweeted Suicide Squad has machine gun killings and gets a PG-13. Don't Think Twice gets an R because adults smoke pot. Confusing? and there was, like, you know, it got 4,000 retweets and 10,000 likes, and then it got picked up by, you know, the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and Entertainment Weekly and all these places, and then Judd Apatow just started weighing in. He's pretty mad about it as well.
Well, Dean, you see this all the time. You've been dealing with the MPAA for years, and you and I were talking about Birbiglia earlier this week.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the example about this movie, but one of the other movies that I'm reviewing this weekend is this amazing documentary called Gleason about the former NFL player who is diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Yeah, that's it. I've heard it's incredible.
Powerful, powerful documentary. So emotional. But that movie gets rated R also.
Yeah.
It's a documentary about a football player who gets Lou Gehrig's disease because of language in the movie. Yet, as Mike points out, in Suicide Squad, they're mowing people down like they're, you know, like they're mowing the lawn outside. And, you know, Jason Bourne and, you know, a lot of the other movies, which are just loaded with gun violence, are getting by with PG-13s. Doesn't make sense.
Well, studios spend a bunch of money to make these big Marvel movies, and they got to make the number back, and they're going to make the number back on a PG-13 faster than they are on an R, right? I mean, that's the system.
Yeah, and at the expense, our expense, because, you know, we want, you know, 15, 16-year-olds to see movies that, you know, are thoughtful, intelligent, plays right at the height of their intelligence. You know, I got to say, it's frustrating.
It's got to be frustrating. The movie is a must-see, I'm telling you. Don't Think Twice. Limited release this weekend, but I'm hoping it goes wide as soon as next weekend with a great cast. Keegan-Michael Key.
In Chicago, it's not limited. In Chicago, it's at the Music Box and, you know, all kinds of places.
Yeah, but we're big, dude. We're all over America. I'm talking to the people. You know, I'm talking to the people in small towns, medium-sized towns.
Oh, yes, of course. Well,
and it's my usual pet peeve.
In America, it's in 60 theaters, but
my usual pet peeve about movies like this, if you don't live downtown or on the north side, good luck find a theater to see it. So search this one out. Steve, I'm actually surprised you didn't go for the Don't Think Twice About Seeing It.
No, because I don't do puns. If I do, I have to hit myself in the face. no one else can reach me. But if you go see this movie and you fill it up this weekend, then it'll easily go wide in your town and all over. But you can easily see it this weekend here. Keegan-Michael Key, Jillian Jacobs, Birbiglia, a great cast. And it's a hot, kind of off-the-beaten-path improv group. A couple of the kids make it, right, Mike? And then, well, then it kind of changes the group chemistry.
It's about how, you know, this was a couple members of an improv group get a chance to audition for a Saturday Night Live type of show. No copyright infringement.
No, nothing similar.
It's called Weekend Live, and then the rest of them don't. It's about what happens in friendships when some people get some things that everybody wants. And it's a comedy, it's a drama. Like we were saying, it's a movie for adults. But it's not. You know, I'm very proud of it. It's in the vein of like a movie like Big Chill or Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah, yeah. It's grown up stuff. Grown ups talking. Grown up emotions, and real life stuff. Where can you be happy for your friend while you'd like to cut their heart out because you're jealous and hurt at the same time?
Yeah, I can't relate to it at all.
No, it's never happened to you or anyone else in show business.
Mike, I'm wondering how you got Keegan-Michael Key involved in this. I mean, he's just,
I'm,
you know,
wondering that
one
too,
of the hottest actors. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner. I mean, Key and Peele have won everything. These guys couldn't be hotter.
It's the script. I didn't know him before. I mean, it was one of these things where I got him the script, and he was at this point where he's reading a million scripts and being sent everything. And he said in interviews, he goes, unless I cry when I read a script, I'm not going to do it. And he read it twice. He cried both times. And he just signed on immediately.
How great
is
that?
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, he and I Skyped, he has this big improv background, Second City Detroit, Second City Chicago, and then Matt DB and Ian Peele. But he and I Skyped for the first time, and he goes, we don't know each other, but you wrote a movie about my life, and that's weird.
Well, I think it's great.
I don't know what you're doing, but it's weird.
And I think it's great that he agreed to do it for $8. I think that's great.
He did it for $8 and some pancakes.
That's true. Well, listen, I couldn't be happier for you, and it's great to talk to you again. It's called Don't Think Twice. Please go see it and support it. And I love the Big Chill analogy because I think you're right. I mean, the good feelings you get every time you go back and watch the Big Chill, I think this is this type of movie, and I hope it has that kind of life as well.
We tried to give it some legs, Steve, so I appreciate your support.
All right, buddy. All the best. Be well. There you go.
Thanks.
See you later, Mike.
Mike Birbiglia. And Dean, we'll take a break. Come back.
This is the weekend for movies like this.
Conversational, adult, real-life movie.
Suicide Squad. I'll tell you more about it in a second. Disappointing, but there's this movie and a couple of other documentary smaller films that are so fantastic that might not otherwise get any notice because of the big block when the big blockbusters come out.
Wait, are you reviewing Suicide Squad today?
I am.
Actual review. Hold on.
I might
stand by for that because Dean's got to go back out in the parking lot soon and move a Volvo.
I spend so much time saying that I can't review on a particular day. I forget when I actually can review.
Yeah, it's today.
The movies, but
hip hip hooray!
Yeah.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Before he goes back outside for the bad haircut open, Dean, I love these kids that you guys are putting on Channel 9 this morning.
The back to school kids fair?
Yeah, and the 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. And the little guys, almost all of them have haircuts they're going to regret in the future. They're going to look back and they're going to look at those pictures. And they're going to go, what was I thinking there?
We've got the kids getting free haircuts, immunizations, school supplies, lots of entertainment. Steve, when we finish up here, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to be talking to somebody from funwiz.com.
What is funwiz? You're not having a stroke right now, are you? Funwiz.com,
no.
What is that?
Funwiz, let's see here. Motivating kids of all ages to be more active and interactive while educating them about the benefits of health, fitness, and play in an entertaining way. FunWiz with two Z's .com.
Producer hands you that one. You go, we sure we're doing this one?
Yeah, that may be just a joke they're playing on me. By the way, a small correction. When I said Key and Peele had won a Pulitzer, I meant Peabody Award. So my apologies for got my P words mixed up.
If anybody actually corrected you on that, they need to get out and get some fresh air. Movie reviews. Let's start with the big one.
Oh, boy. Suicide Squad, so anticipated, and I wanted to like this so much. Maybe that's part of the pain of this whole thing. There are a few really great performances. Will Smith is great in the movie. Margot Robbie is great in the movie. Viola Davis is great in the movie. Jared Leto, you know, the Joker is one of my favorite characters, and he... easily is on par with Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Only he's barely in the movie. The way they're promoting it in the commercials, you'd think that he's the main villain or, you know, like the head of the bad guys in this movie. He really is not. It's a very supporting role. They're setting it up to have more Joker in the future, that's for sure. But very disappointing in this movie. And then the rest of the cast, it's like seven other guys after that that sort of are used as filler and sort of dilute each other. So, you know, the star power doesn't work. I think the biggest problem with Suicide Squad is a really poorly written script. They just cannot seem to figure out how Marvel comic movies are done so well and with such clever writing. And this one just kind of falls flat. The story doesn't hold together. It doesn't make sense. In many cases, often this movie looks like you're watching Ghostbusters. There's very little that's original about the look or the special effects in the movie. So I walked out of this movie with just a huge amount of disappointment. I wound up only giving it a C-.
Wow, that is a bad grade.
Yeah. So,
and by the way, I'm shallow enough to tell you, if I see Margot Robbie in a movie, I don't want to see Margot Robbie trashed up. I want to see a hot Margot Robbie.
She looks, I mean, she definitely looks hot, but she is... like, you know, a nutty. She's a former psychologist who is now insane for the Joker, mad in love with the Joker, but completely mad. But I actually kind of like her character a little bit. At least there's something original to it, which this movie doesn't have an awful lot of. So that's why I say this weekend is a great weekend for movies like Don't Think Twice, that we were talking about with Mike a minute ago. This Norman Lear documentary, if you're a fan of classic TV, you've got to see this. It's called Just Another Version of You. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at the making of these influential shows that he created that literally changed television. All in the Family, Maude, The Jeffersons, Good Times, the list goes on and on.
And this is what you interviewed him
right,
for.
Right, exactly, when he was in Chicago a month or so ago. We're going to replay that full interview on the radio show this coming Sunday morning. A really great movie. It's only playing at the Music Box Theater. Mike's movie, by the way, Don't Think Twice, is only at the Music Box and at the AMC downtown. So unfortunately, only two theaters for that one. But also there's this documentary called Gleason, about the retired NFL player Steve Gleason. Get this, he learns that he's going to be a first-time father. 6 weeks later, he's diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's, the fatal muscular disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. And it's this much of this movie is his video diary that he was making to his then-unborn son as his body began to deteriorate and didn't think that he was ever going to be able to meet his unborn son, so wanted to have a diary of what he was thinking and feeling and going through. It's a heartbreaker. It's a tearjerker. It's powerful. It's uplifting. Really great movie. Again, this one's only at a handful of theaters, but definitely worth seeking out. It's called Gleason.
All right, and is world-famous Anna Bonneville outside with you as well?
Anna, the whole gang is outside. I just saw Robin outside, which we don't... usually see Robin until the last 5 minutes of the back to school affairs.
Is the public been told not to look her directly in the eye?
That's right. We have security wrestling little kids to the ground if they come too close to Robin.
Yeah. All right, buddy, go have fun.
Just a few minutes. Again, I don't want to over-tease this. A few minutes, I'm going to be at funwiz.com. So here's hoping you all have a nice...
Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this, and you can back me up on this. if you meet Larry Potash, he loves strangers who touch him.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you're a stranger, definitely reach out and give him a big hug.
Big hug. He loves the big hugs, Larry Potash.
All right, buddy. Good weekend. We'll hear you Sunday on the road.
All right. See you guys.
See you later. Big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
And good morning, Governor Kasich. Welcome back to the program.
But Governor, you're not supporting Donald Trump, though, are you?
I think you all know what I've been doing about that. I don't think we need to dwell on it.
Yeah, but we're not gonna play. He went from a good mood to a bad mood so quickly. We're not gonna play charades either.
I'm not in a bad mood. Everybody knows. You have to be living in a cave to not know, you know, where I've been on all this.
Kasich, you know, I have a new nickname for him. One for 41.
It's not actually a nickname. That's a statement. Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune joins us. Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com. Sunday morning spin at 7. Who's the guest this week?
I've got John McCormick from Bloomberg News, who's been covering the Paul Ryan primary, and the one that Donald Trump won't endorse the House Speaker in. And also I've got Hal Dardick from our Tribune City Hall team. We'll be talking about these property tax increases as well as the new water and sewer tax increase as well.
And that's Sunday morning at 7. Great way to start the political Sunday morning coverage with Rick Pearson. A couple of things on the agenda. You just heard Kasich there, and he was in town for what reason?
He was here for fundraisers for Republican U.S. Senator Mark Kirk, as well as for Illinois House Leader Jim Durkin. And this is a strategy. He says it's not motivated by his dislike for Donald Trump, but that he believes it's important that leading Republicans go out and try to help these down ballot candidates. And while he denies it has anything to do with Trump, there's of course an added impetus, because as we're starting to see the big deterioration in Trump's poll numbers, a lot of Republican congressmen and senators are looking for that way to separate themselves from the Republican presidential nominee. And that's where Kasich kind of provides some cover for them.
And in the midst of all of it, did he tell anyone else, you know where I stand? You know where I stand?
Well, you know, he made such an emphatic statement by, here he's the, as Ohio governor, he's the home state governor for the Republican National Convention, and wouldn't even set foot inside Quicken Loans Arena. But he worked a lot of the delegations at their hotels and at receptions, basically touting the fact that he's a guy that wants to work for Republican unity. And he, as he says, everybody knows where he stands on Donald Trump.
It's Rick Pearson's Sunday morning spin. In addition to that, we had the mayor on yesterday, and the mayor's financial officer is taking a swing at Moody's for the city's junk bond rating. Isn't that all math?
Well, you know, one of the problems with the city's bond ratings has been the inability to be able to deal with these pension funds, and how, you know, even for the municipal fund, it looked like without any kind of added revenue to it, it'd be out of money in 10 years. In fact, some of the bonds, you know, they'd get traded just like stocks and everything else. And as he presented this to municipal money managers the other day, now we're seeing an uptick in the price of trading Chicago debt, which almost 90 cents on the dollar, which is, frankly, that's good news, believe it or not. It does show some stabilizing in the markets, and it also goes a big step towards improving Chicago's credit rating, despite that financial impact it's going to have on all of these Chicago households.
When the mayor was on with us yesterday, one of his major initiatives going forward is a bike tour with Andrea. I don't know if you've ever done an interview while on a bike, Rick, but do you have any advice for Andrea in that regard?
I want to make sure she's got a GoPro on, though.
Oh, I mean, will. I think I will be wearing the GoPro.
All right. But, I would not be holding an iPhone while doing this.
Oh, gosh, no.
That's the only recommendation I'd give. But don't let him get out in front, because that's his natural tendency.
Well, that was my fear. You know, I thought he's
keeping up with the little guy.
Big athlete. Yeah, he's a triathlete.
Yeah.
I think I'll be all right.
Well, that's the thing. When the mayor's on wheels and you try to ask the hard question, he may just speed off and you're left in the dust.
He goes, what? Can't hear you. La, la, la. Talking to Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, one of the best sources for inside political information and breaking political news is Cloud Street. and Cloud Street in your Chicago Tribune and Chicago Tribune. .com. Check out, you know, here's the deal. Get the paper. Would it kill you? Get two or three copies. And you could check out Cloud Street online very easily anytime at chicagotribune.com. So you get calls from people all the time. You hear things all the time. And this is where it gets a little dicey because Rick's a journalist. And, you know, talking to a journalist about opinions is not, you know, it's not cool. You can't do it. So I'm not asking your opinion here. I'm asking, what are people telling you in regards to the Armageddon-like campaign of Donald Trump in the last week?
Dismay, absolute dismay. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we heard going into the convention and we knew that how he was going to be at the convention, but that this was supposed to be a transitionary period where he was going to act and be more presidential. And, of course, in the back of everybody's mind was, is there a gear that we don't know about that he has? And, you know, certainly there's a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation about particularly these down ballot races. And even to the larger point of, you know, where goes the Republican Party if indeed this turns into a big Hillary Clinton landslide election, you know, with the Republican majority in the Senate in jeopardy, even the Republican majority in the House questionable, states that were reliably Republican in the past. Now you've got Hillary Clinton actually pulling ads out of states, believing that, like Virginia, she feels that that's a comfortable state and doesn't need to advertise in anymore. It makes it very hard to see a path to victory. And I know, obviously, we're in the first week of August. There's still a lot of game to be played here. But even at this point in the race, you know, everybody had thought that Trump could say and do anything and that he was impervious to any negative reaction. Well, now it's starting to all come home, and Clinton will be driving that message of the compendium of things that Trump has done in this campaign.
And yet she just can't help herself. Last Sunday on Fox, she got caught sticking her pantsuit in it over the what FBI Director Comey said and didn't say. And
so
Comey said that she, you know, all of my statements were truthful. Well, at the Clinton word parsing camp, you kids could learn a lot if you need to get out of trouble, because she restated the same thing yesterday to KUSA television, and it's just a lie.
Well, and here again, this is part of the dismay going on in the Republican camp, is the fact that, you know, she has been out there. She's repeated these statements that run basically completely counter to FBI Director Comey's statements to the media and testimony. And the fact is, Trump is not seizing on that opportunity and instead just keeps digging a hole for himself. And that's really where a lot of this outrage among rank-and-file Republicans is, that establishment Republicans is, over his inability to be able to, you know, seize on ways to go after Hillary Clinton.
The news that came out this week that Republican leadership was looking at ways to replace the candidate if needed, was that a leak for purpose to try to get him back on message? Or is there a faction that are seriously considering, we got to be ready if this knucklehead suddenly walks away?
Well, I mean, I think there is a slight fear factor that he could walk away. I mean, we've heard this throughout the campaign that, oh, he really doesn't want to be president. And, you know, there's nothing that would stop him from, if he starts losing severely, that he just walks away from it, being, you know, this unconventional nominee that the Republicans have. That having been said, the whole idea of trying to actively remove him from the top of the ticket, I mean, there's very, very little way that could actually be done. You've got filing deadlines for the November ballot that are coming up. Texas, I think, is August 26th. It would be very difficult. It'd be like trying to field a write-in candidate. So I do think in many respects it was a leak. It was trying to do some message sending to the Trump camp. But, you know, this has been something that the Republican leadership has tried before and to not any great effect.
And I'm jumping around here, but to bring it back to local, any pension news this week?
No. I mean, we're going to be waiting and seeing how and with expectation that the council will adopt the city water and sewer tax. I mean, there is some talk in the council about, you know, aren't there alternative ways to raise the money? But there's no real practical way to do it without having to go to the General Assembly. And we've seen how the General Assembly, we know the inaction in Springfield and the risk of a bill passing and the governor threatening a veto over it. This is, I guess I would say, the most legislatively clean way to do things is the approach that Emanuel's taking.
I know the answer to the question, but it's in the big picture. But has anybody ever suggested an optional voluntary donation box on my tax returns to Illinois for the pension problem?
Well, I mean, you can always add more money on the bottom of your
tax. Yeah, but you don't know where it's going to be spent.
Right. Maybe, frankly, we should have a lottery for the pensions. I mean, we seem to have lottery games for all kinds of various causes. Maybe we should have a lottery for the pension funds.
Yeah, but the problem is every time we hear where the lottery funds are going, they never go there.
Well, they go there, but they don't
stay there.
They don't do what everybody thought. And there's no way you can fund education in the state just based on lottery revenues alone. The pension system is what it is. And while, there's still talks in Springfield privately on ways to try to, I don't want to use the word reform because reform's in the eye of the beholder, but to change the pension system so it's not eating up so much of the tax dollar. But as I've said before, the courts have been pretty darn clear. There isn't a lot you can do to touch benefits that once they've been promised, they're guaranteed.
It's Rick Pearson, Sunday morning, 7 a.m., the Sunday Spin, Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Steve. Thank you much.
See ya.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself. The language we all understand.
It's 9:13. Stevie Wonder featured in an ad back in the 80s for Atari video games. We saw this week. And the print ad was a picture of younger Stevie Wonder saying, "I can't play video games, but if I could, I'd play Atari." I mean, that's funny. Anytime somebody's got something extra to get over, it's impressive. And in a way, it brings me to the next guest. Jamie Shanbaum is a meningitis survivor, a U.S. Paralympian, and there's an annual Blog Her conference that Jamie can tell us about as well. But there is a special emphasis with this part of the year and going back to college and dealing with meningitis in particular. Dr. Friedland, I don't have Dr. Friedland's first name in front of me, but Jamie and Dr. Friedland join us right now. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. And Dr. Leonard Friedland, what's your specialty, doctor?
Good morning. My specialty is pediatrics and vaccines and public health.
All right, so let's go in reverse order here. What is the Blog Her conference, Jamie?
The Blog Her conference is here in L.A., and basically, they're gathering about like a couple hundred to maybe 1,000, over 1,000. I think 3,500 mothers that are here. All of them are bloggers, talking about, you know, just like their lives and also more so about their children and their lifestyles with that. And I'm really happy to be speaking in front of them because, you know, as mothers, they should hear my story because my story is devastating. So I got sick with meningitis, and when my mom was there, I mean, I just can't imagine what it was like on her to see her daughter go through a deprecating situation. And, you know, I'm hoping to share my story and have a really positive, you know, feedback from all these moms. I'm really excited to be speaking with them.
And when did you actually contract meningitis?
I contracted meningitis almost 8 years ago. I was a sophomore at college working really hard to get to my dream school back home in Texas. And I couldn't even enjoy a full semester without contracting the disease. It all happened within 14 hours. Originally, it was like flu-like symptoms of nausea, vomiting, headaches. And that transpired to the following morning of me being incapable of walking, retaining any warmth, shivering down on my bones. I had no idea what was happening. And luckily, my sister came and picked me up and took me to the hospital. But unfortunately, I didn't leave for 7 months. And at that point, I had all of my fingers amputated and both of my legs below the knee amputated and was at 80 pounds and lost all of my hair and was in a wheelchair when I got out.
In 14 hours, your life completely changes.
Right. Completely changed. And honestly, I'm very lucky because it could have been worse. I could have become blind. I could have become deaf. I could have become mentally challenged. I could have had internal organ failures. And, of course, I could have died if I didn't say that already. And, you know, it's just, I feel honored, but at the same time, I also meet a lot of mothers without their survivors. And that's just pretty hard to also take in.
I can't imagine. And it's a good place to bring in Dr. Friedland here. So let's start with some basics, doctor. Viral meningitis, how is it spread?
Yes, there are many different types of meningitis. There's viral meningitis, which would be caused by a virus. And there's bacterial meningitis. The type of meningitis that Jamie had is bacterial meningitis.
Okay,
the scientific name is Neisseria meningitidis, but we just call it meningitis. And it's from a bacteria. It's a rare infection, but when it happens, it strikes. It can strike anybody, and it can be deadly. 1 in 10 can die from the illness, sometimes as quick as 24 hours from the beginning of symptoms. And in those lucky enough to survive, like Jamie, 1 in 5 will be left with lifelong complications such as loss of limbs or brain damage,
right,
hearing loss, internal damage. And this is a bacteria that can be spread from person to person. And that's why young people, adolescents and young adults are particularly at risk because they often live, work, and socialize in situations where they can spread the bacteria from person to person. And this illness can be prevented through 2 different types of vaccines that are recommended for adolescents and young adults. And so it's really important to hear the stories because while this infection is rare, when it happens to real people, and it's a really, really serious illness that we can, thankfully, prevent through vaccination. But it takes time to need to learn and educate yourself about this. So taking even 5 minutes at a website like meningitis.com to learn about the illness and vaccines is a way to arm yourselves with knowledge and then go speak to the doctor about the vaccines that are available.
Yeah, and going back to school, you know, off to college, this is the time to ask. You know, whether or not you have a mandatory physical you're taking prior to school or not, this is the time to check with your doctor. Treat it like you're going to a foreign country, you know, because you are. You're going to college, and you're coming in contact with a lot of people who you're not normally in contact with, and that you don't know where they've been. You don't know what they have. So why not be prepared?
Right. And we also don't want the focus to only be on college because many people in the United States don't go to college. But they're still in the same social situations that can have exposure to the bacteria, you know, at clubs or at community centers or in just in the military, for example. And so the time to get vaccinated is in late adolescence, you know, around, you know, 11th, 12th grade, before the risk goes up. And it goes up towards late adolescence, early adulthood.
Doctor, when I was at the University of Illinois in the mid-late 90s, there was an outbreak of meningitis, and everybody was retroactively getting vaccinated. I know you say it's not just for college students, but is this maybe a good indicator, a good time when kids going, I say kids loosely, students going off to college or going off somewhere, is this a good time for when they should be vaccinated? Should we be proactive instead of retroactive?
Oh, absolutely. Being proactive is always important. The back-to-school time is a great time to get caught up on all the things that are recommended to keep yourselves healthy. And that's why back-to-school time, which we're heading into now, is really the right time to think about this. So we've created a website at meningitis.com, meningitis.com, where people can take 5 minutes to learn about the 2 vaccines that are available to actually protect against the 5 vaccine-preventable types of this type of meningitis. And now's the time to be, as you put it, proactive. It's always best to prevent rather than to treat. And prevention is really the key And we have the tools now through these two different vaccines. And learning about Jamie's story is really, really important because it puts a story behind something that is truly real. Mm-hmm. And again, it's rare, but it does happen. And when it happens, it can be so devastating and deadly.
Jamie, thank God your sister was available when she was, because everything you guys are talking about, timing is such an important issue in this story. But the other concern, Jamie, I have, maybe I'm overthinking this, but if you're in college and you're sweaty and you're nauseous and you look like you've been on a, you know, why am I getting that? Thank you. If you're sweaty and you're nauseous and you're in college, Jamie, you know, and you feel terrible, well, the last thing you need, a bunch of your friends go and sleep it off thinking you had a hangover or something from the night before. So, you know, people need to know it's a serious deal and you may not be in a physical state to let them know you got to go to the ER.
Exactly. I was very lucky. I actually lived off campus and by myself. So you don't have to be in a dorm to be catching this. You can just be living by yourself off campus. And yes, very lucky. I do tell my sister that she did save my life, which is totally true, because she just called with, hey, you need to ride to school? And I'm like, no, I need to go to the hospital. And she came over. Wow. And it's not like I opened the door like, hey, welcome to my apartment. I left it unlocked and I was collapsed on the ground.
Wow. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it was hard. It was, and just seeing my limbs decay in front of me and not being able to move, I felt like I had thousands of pounds of sand in me. Like,
what a nightmare.
Yes, literally, I call it a nightmare all the time because I would wake up every day and realize this was my life. And there was nothing I could do about it. Luckily, I was able to, you know, turn a new leaf.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you for all the work you've done, including in 2009 getting the Jamie Sheinbaum Act passed, requiring meningitis vaccinations for college students who are going in as well. But let's talk about something related to today before we let you go. And you guys are very accommodating on switching slots today when the police superintendent became available. We thank you for that. But the Olympics open tonight, and you're a gold medal Paralympian. Congratulations mm-hmm. on that. But what are your thoughts on the games and the Paralympics?
Very exciting. It's kind of crazy, you know, like just to be at home and watching TV and then the commercials come up and see teammates that I've met many times.
Right.
Like pop up on the commercials. It's very exciting. I'm very proud of all of my former teammates. And, you know, I'm really hoping that they could just rack up as many medals as they possibly can. But nonetheless, they should all be very proud of themselves.
And you won a gold medal in which event?
Back in 2011 at the Parapan American Games is when I competed with the U.S. Paralympic cycling team.
How about that? Talk about turning your life around. So yeah. Everybody's sitting in traffic and whining this morning. I hope you're inspired by Jamie. And doctor, thanks for the information. Doctor, give the website out again for people so they know.
Yeah, the website that I'd suggest would be meningitis.com, MENIGITIS.com, where you can take 5 minutes. It's really all it takes to learn about the facts and about the disease. You know, besides being a vaccine researcher, I'm also a parent of two college-age children. Actually, my oldest just graduated from college and has her first job, so it's really a proud time. But we want, as parents, to have our children have all the opportunities in life, and for Jamie, you know, to have such a great experience as a Paralympian. So we want to keep our children healthy, and one way to do that is through vaccination, to keep ourselves protected against illnesses that can occur. And so, you know, vaccination is our best tool for prevention, as are many other things for adolescents. So it's back to school time, as you put out there. So go visit the doctor. You know, make sure that you're staying healthy, doing all the right things, and vaccines are certainly a part of that, particularly for this devastating type of meningitis.
Good to talk to both of you. Thank you, Jamie. Best of luck, and thank you for all the good work you continue to do. Again, it's meningitis. Did the doc spell meningitis wrong? MENINGITIS.
Yeah.
Well, you had a lot going on there. It's 9:25. Quick hit with Kevin Powell in a moment. You may remember him. He's a baseball guru now. He'll join us in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on! 9:30. It's our friend Kevin Powell. You know, Kevin, we don't really have time to talk about baseball, so let's do a little word association here. I'll say the word. You just give me a one-word answer, okay?
Okay.
Cubs.
Good.
Sox.
Bad.
All right, so now we can talk about what we're really here to talk about, and that is that John DeCoss met up with you earlier this week to update his Day and DeCoss YouTube video page. And this is where you go to A Day and DeCoss on YouTube, and you see pointless YouTube videos, all in an effort to make John YouTube famous and get him off the show.
Yes, we got our inner Spielberg on, and John bribed me with cigars and a new grill caddy that Dave and John always talk about. So
it's a grill daddy, by the way, not a grill caddy.
Yeah, that's okay.
Dang, that's what I meant. Daddy. He bribed me with that, and yes, again, we got our inner Spielberg on, and we shot five videos in, I think, about 5 minutes. So we put a lot of hard work into it, and I think it
a lot of care, a lot of concern, a lot of storyboarding for the scripts.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It took a lot of production work, and I think it paid off at the end.
And Violetta Zippity Doodahs in some of these?
Violetta is not in these videos.
Oh,
actually.
She's not?
No. Her appearance fees are too high. She said she can't do it.
All right. Violetta Zippity Doodah, of course, does traffic on the Ro Collins show every afternoon starting at 3. All right. So we'll see you in these videos when? Are they posted now?
They are being cut up. The finishing touches are being put on. So they should be up, according to John DeCoss, he said by the end of the week. So they should be up right now.
So they're in post-production. Yes, we're at the end of the week. They're in post-production now.
Yes, correct.
All right. Well, I think this has been a really enlightening segment.
I think so, too. I appreciate you having me, Steve.
All right, again, that's Kevin Powell. He'll be on this afternoon on the Ro Collins Show. And
this was brought to you by Grill Caddy.
Brought to you by Grill Caddy. And, of course, all of this is a Nice Man production. Next Friday night, Kev, I don't know if you know this, but next Friday night, DeCoss and I and Mike Toomey will be at Belle Salle Banquets in, I don't know if it's technically Naperville or Aurora, but it's right off 59 on New York Ave. Is it Aurora? And we'll be there doing stand-up comedy next Friday night at 7:30. That's option A. Or option B, you can go to Sandberg's wedding.
Well, speaking of Violetta Zippity Doodah, she was asking me to get free tickets from you for your next show.
Yeah, that's
so fine. Do you know anybody that can get tickets to the show?
No.
I can do
show.
It. The problem is to put her name on a will call list would give me a headache. So
I say no, since when I was in Cleveland and Philly, it was Rowan, Anna, and Jeff for themselves, and I was kind of left out in the cold. So I'm thinking no.
All right. Well, I got to stand up for Andrea, I guess. Since you guys cut her out. I don't know what happened.
I guess we're going to Mary's wedding.
All right. So enjoy Mary's wedding.
Does Mary know this?
Wedding. Yeah. She does.
What's on the menu? Does anybody know?
Beef, I don't. Listen, right now,
please eat beef.
Right now, she's just rolling around in Bounty paper towels in the back of the producer's booth. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, Kevin, it's at Chicago Cut. So,
okay, beef. All right, I'm going to marry. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah,
I still love you, but
totally
yeah, I'll see you there, Cuff.
Steak chumps all.
All right, so listen this afternoon when Ro and Anna and Vine Ripe and Violetta and Kevin are all doing whatever they do. See you, buddy.
Doing whatever they do.
We going straight to the big story here? No, we got to take a break. Then we'll do the big story at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:44, we're just reminiscing here in the studio. I didn't bring it up, of course, but when I drilled David Kaplan in the Mancathlon event, and I believe this might be the 10th anniversary of the Mancathlon. A lot going on with the number 10 here.
Yeah. You think it's been 10 years?
I think it was 2006.
Those were some great events.
They were really impressive events, like who can drink the most water and not pee. That was a terrible idea. We don't recommend that at home. We also took batting practice Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
And Cap showed up in, like, Barry Bonds armor. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe it.
I played golf.
Yeah.
Then we raced back to the studio from the Glen Club.
Yeah.
Home of our friend Emil Esposito, the beautiful Glen Club.
Yeah.
Also, let me tell you something. The lawyers here at Tribune were really excited about that, an on-air drag race during rush hour.
Yeah, I thought you guys played hacky sack, too. Didn't you do some sort of
I'm not sure either one of us could get our knees high enough for a hacky sack.
Who
I
won?
Think that was the problem. I won.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I
that's my recollection of it. Yeah. That's my, and that's what I'm sticking to it. We bring this up because there's a very cool event that you need to be aware of. Some of you may already be aware of it, but fighting the scourge of pediatric cancer is a big part of Nick Greason's life. And Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Nice to see you. Nick played at Wisconsin, but don't hold that against him because he also had a nice NFL career. I'm trying to remember Giants, Jags, Ravens, and who am I missing?
The Broncos.
And the Broncos.
Broncos.
Pretty good organizations.
Very good organizations. And it was a great experience. I fooled somebody because the average career is only 3 years. So.
And you got eight.
And I got eight.
Pretty impressive. And you got out healthy.
Somewhat healthy. I messed up my knee, and that's what basically ended my career.
Dude, I messed up my knee. I do a talk show. and what are you doing with your life now when you're not doing this?
So now what I'm doing, I'm working with a company called Pro Financial Services, or PFS. We actually do specialty risk insurance, protecting athletes against injury, protecting their future income and also current income, which is a lot of great stuff that I've done and since coming aboard there.
Can you imagine sitting down and discussing money with Nick and going, I don't like your idea? I don't think so.
No.
No, you want to protect my assets? Whatever you want, Nick, okay? Settle down.
And don't worry, I went to Northwestern and got my MBA. So I, not just Wisconsin, at least in the Chicago area, I'm still a fan of.
You're a little concerned that Ennett's going to like rough you up, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been working out.
You're not looking at the two of us side by side, are you, Steve? Really?
So Nick, and we should also identify your photographer. Bryn's here.
Yes, Bryn is here.
Siegel or Seagal? Siegel. Bryn Siegel from our friends at Kemper Sports. Who does a great job, and she's the official photographer for you, apparently, as you travel around, you egomaniac.
Well, you know how you got to get to the players now. It's through social media, right?
Oh, that's
you've
right.
Be social.
That's right. Well, it's good.
And they always tell me I have a better face for radio than a voice. So
no, I think you've got a face for whatever you want, sir.
I agree. I concur with that.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Chicago Decathlon. How'd you get involved?
So I got involved actually through one of my classmates who. Got somebody who said, hey, we're coming to Chicago. We're building this out. It actually started in New York in 2009 just by guys that said, you know what? We like to compete. We're former athletes, but it's hard to go to the gym when you don't have a goal.
Yeah.
And so we said, here, where can we do? What can we do? Let's have a goal. Let's create this event. They're actually doing it in Central Park, and they couldn't really throw a javelin. So they made some changes to a real decathlon.
A modified decathlon.
Yeah, it's almost like a decathlon / NFL combine, mini combine. And so Dave Maloney, he was a former track guy at Auburn, and they had this great idea. His mother was affected by cancer and said, you know what? Let's turn this event into raising money for pediatric cancer research and do something great in this community, in different communities that we go and we travel to.
And here locally, it'll benefit Rush University Medical Center's Cancer Research Department.
Yep. And the whole community in terms since 2009 has raised over $7 million, which has been
tremendous,
a great feat for athletes to be able to do
this. You guys should be very proud of that. It's tomorrow is the team decathlon. Sunday is the individual. Both events start at 8 o'clock at Lane Tech. What are the events?
So the events are first going to start off. It's very similar to what the decathlon would be. It would be a 400-meter run. Which,
how many people can I have run for me in that? Can I have 15 or 20 people run 40
apiece? You want to have a 400-meter run that's taken
What if
off?
I had 20 people run 20 meters apiece? Would that be okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it might just take a little bit longer. So we got the 400-meter run, 800. And then we have a 40-yard dash, a 20-yard shuttle, which is very similar to what they do in the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Dips, pull-ups.
What do you call me?
Dips.
Listen, I'll send Ennett after you.
We're going to do dips.
What are the dips?
The dips?
Yeah, what? What is the event? Dip? Describe
what
the event.
What is a dip?
Yeah.
You know, I've been to the gym for a while.
No, I'm asking. Listen, we're setting it up for other people, dude.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
make me come over there and hurt you, because provided I get this back brace off for my lumbar problem, I would.
Okay.
Yes. So what is a dip?
So a dip is actually almost like a parallel bar. You have your hands. It's hard to explain it, but you have your hands up. You're fully engaged.
Yes.
You go down and up with your arms.
Yes.
Watch Dave
bending.
Demonstrate it.
Yeah.
Yep. So we got dips. We actually have the bench press.
Yeah.
You can do that one. 175 Polo. Pounds. Okay. Not the 225 Please. Like at the combine.
175. How many reps you want?
I want 20. Done. We should do, we could do push-ups.
Yeah, we could do contest. That too. Sure.
Yeah. You guys can bench press me and Mary. You can bench press us.
Oh, it's 175. That'd be two of you.
Oh, yeah, that might be. Yeah, of course, that's right. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
And then we got 500-meter row, vertical jump, and then football throw. Because, you can't throw a javelin. I mean, you might hurt somebody.
Be entertaining, though, wouldn't it? Seeing other people run and get out of the way?
That would be.
So the individual, again, is Sunday. the team event is Saturday. You can still register for either?
Can you still register? I don't think so.
It's locked out.
No, right? You're locked. Yeah, you're basically done because...
But you can come on watch. You've got to come on cheer
people
on.
To be able to compete, you need to raise a certain level of money. So unless you want to write a check for, I believe it's $3,000 for an individual and $8,000 for a team.
Covered.
You got it?
Yeah. And but you can come on and cheer people on, right?
Definitely, yeah. It's free to the public, and they're going to have food, beverage, and have music very similar to like a professional event.
And you got a couple of kids yourself, don't you?
I've got two. Yeah,
how old?
I've got a 7-year-old daughter who's an animal, and then a five month old baby boy. That's absolutely he's going to be 5 months actually this weekend, and he's an absolute monster. I mean, he's 28 inches and about 22 pounds. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I look forward to? In about 4 years when he starts wrestling you.
Oh, I can't wait till he beats up my daughter because she's just messing with him now.
Is she?
And I'm just like, taunting just wait until he gets bigger.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a lucky man. You're blessed. You know, I have a son and a daughter. It's the best.
I'm extremely blessed. Yep. Yeah.
Really, and you have a granddaughter who's eligible.
I have a granddaughter. Does anyone want to see pictures?
Yeah.
Of my first grandchild?
I heard it's much better being a grandparent than it is a parent.
It's early. She's 7.5 months old. And she's my first. But, yeah, so far she's perfect, and, you know, I think that's clear. I've said it many times, all the other grandkids should quit because you just can't compete. But I mean what I said. I really salute you guys for being involved in this and the money that's going to be raised. For people that maybe can't be there but want to help or maybe want to get involved in it next year, what do you do?
So next year you can always go onto the decathlon.org. And be able to go and research, and you can actually make the trip. There's actually a bunch of different events. So there's one held in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, and they're actually coming up next year and going out to London. So it's a great place. So you can go anywhere and go and compete. And then they're eventually going to create in 2018 a world championship. So similar to what they're doing with the triathlon, you go out to Kona and have the world championship. So you go and you register and you compete and at any of these different events, and you'll actually place and be able to compete with anybody around the world.
And if you go to chicago.thedecathlon.org, you can donate right online.
Definitely.
So you can kick something in even if you can't be there.
Definitely.
Yeah. What are you doing Sunday? You just watching or are you good?
No, so on Saturday, I'm going to compete in the team event.
Who's on your team?
So I have Rob Sacheray. Mm-hmm. He's a former classmate of mine through Kellogg. Nate Force. He's a former AFL NFL wide receiver. And
AFL NFL, how old is he? AFC NFC?
No, AFL Arena Football.
Oh, Arena Football.
Arena Football. Go. We could get into this.
I was going to American Football League, National Football League.
You know, yeah, no. And then yeah. We've got a track guy from DePaul. So he's going to be our 400, 800 guy. So it's looking pretty good.
And so you're competing. Are you competing Sunday as well?
No, I was actually going to do the individual. I had very high hopes, and then we had a baby 5 months ago, and it really...
Cuts into your workout a little bit?
Yeah, it really cuts into my workout.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I need to do the team event, and maybe I can just do the... So but I'm going to end up doing the football throw.
Okay.
My brother's a former NFL quarterback.
Who do you play for?
He was with the Cardinals.
Okay.
99 to 01. You'll like this story after I tell you what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. The 500-meter row... And then I did, and then I'm going to do the short shuttle.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I did the short shuttle.
Stretch first.
Oh, I messed up my back on Tuesday, which is great.
Doing. Want to borrow the brace?
I'll take you up on that. Yeah. I need some Kinesio tape or whatever they call
yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tape. A couple. You know what they used to do in the NFL? The Toradol. We call it the T train. We'd line up before the game, and you get a shot of Toradol by the doctor, right?
Yeah.
I tell you felt like you're 18 again. I need to go back to the trainer and say,
right,
hey,
right.
Hook me up.
Hey, it's a business. You got to make sure the product can play.
That's right.
Yeah, and you're the product. And your brother, you said you had a story?
Yeah, so he played 99 to 01. He was released by the Cardinals. He went to NFL Europe, and then he went and played in arena football. So he ended up going 8 years, and he plays in the UFL, and he gets picked up by Dallas for the last three games when Kitna gets hurt and Romo was down. So he went 8 years in between NFL contracts, something I've never heard of ever happen before.
That couldn't have ever happened before.
No, I don't know how you go 8 years in between NFL contracts.
He's got to be the greatest trivia question answer ever.
That could be.
How about that? That's a very cool story. Listen, it's great to meet you. I really salute what you're doing, and congrats on your professional success as well.
Thank you.
Northwestern Wisconsin prediction, since you've got your feet in both camps?
It's always Wisconsin.
I'll accept the last 2 years when the Cats have won.
Go Cats.
Yeah. All right, easy, Dave. Easy, Dave.
How about this?
Easy.
Just saying.
Go Big Ten.
Sure.
Go Big Ten.
Sure.
Yeah.
We should. You know what? I'm going to think about this. I'm going to email you when we have a bet, and we'll have a bet. And we'll do something. For whoever loses has got to wear
a
mini decathlon.
No. Whoever loses makes a donation for the coach.
Okay. Yeah I'll do that.
A $5,000 donation.
Back with Bill and Wendy next. It's again chicago.thedecathlon.org. Thank you, Nick. More in a moment on 720 WGN.